Oh my God. It has been quite a minute since I have sat in this very chair at this very desk and spoken into this microphone. Oh my gosh, how is everyone doing? It's been like almost a month since I've sat down and recorded because the episode that you listened to, not last week, but the week before, the day, or I was in London at that point, that was pre-recorded. And all of that, I pre-recorded everything like the first week of September. So it has been almost a full month since I have recorded a new episode, which is crazy. Hi, how the hell are you? Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I'm your host, Hannah Elise. It is great to be back. I do want to apologize first for not having an episode last week. When I tell you I have been editing and doing absolutely nothing else for the last 8 or so days straight, I mean it. I posted both parts of my London vlog on my YouTube channel. And this episode, to jump ahead a little bit, I want to talk about my London trip. I promised y'all a London recap when I got back, and that is what I'm going to give you. But I decided I kind of want to make it more of a like reflection type of thing and not necessarily going through every day and like what I did and stuff like that, itinerary wise. If you do want to see that, I have almost an hour of that content on my YouTube channel in London Vlogs Part 1 and 2. I will link both of those vlogs in the show notes if you want to check those out. Those are where you're going to see, obviously, like the exact what I was doing the whole time and where I went and all of that. Like that. I made all of those for that purpose. And let me just say, I took my sweet time with those videos, and I'm really glad that I did because I'm really proud of them and they make me so happy. I'm just so happy that I've said this multiple times before, but one of my favorite things about doing YouTube in general is just that I get like a digital scrapbook of memories from my life. And especially when it comes to big things, like, I mean, my graduation, I vlogged my college graduation. My first time I went to Europe, I vlogged, and now I have this vlog. Like, I'm so happy not only that I get to share these moments with you guys and put them out there for hopefully your enjoyment, but in large part, they're for me to go back on and relive those memories and just have all of the, it's just so special to me. And that's why it's so important to me to take my time with these videos in particular. Like, I want to make sure I am capturing the whole vibe because I want to be able to turn this video on in the future and go back to exactly what I was feeling in those moments. I want the music to capture how I was feeling. I want everything to mirror how I felt in those moments. So it's just really, I pay a lot of attention to a lot of things. And I do that with all my videos, but I just knew these videos were going to be special because this trip was so freaking awesome and great and special to me. And I'm really excited to get into it more in today's episode. But I wanted to say that first. That's why I didn't have an episode last week. I am sorry. But I literally was just, I did not even come up for air from editing until yesterday when I finished the second vlog. And now both of those are up. So you can go watch them back to back if you want. If you've got an hour you want to kill by watching some YouTube videos, they are there for you. So those videos, as I said, are going to be what you want to watch if you want to know exactly where I went, what I was doing, all that nitty-gritty stuff. And today, here, I want to talk about just my reflections on the trip, how I felt, what I learned, some things about traveling alone. This was my first solo international trip. I've done a handful of solo trips before. I've gotten pretty comfortable doing things myself, but the whole international part is what really scared me since that's something I hadn't conquered before on my own. So going into it, I was really, really anxious. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to do my little check-in, roundup, catch-up with y'all because I literally haven't sat and talked in a month. I want to go through my little question segment at the beginning and see what we can bounce off of for what the hell's been going on in my life. The first thing is, what's Hannah drinking? Today, I'm drinking something similar but different. I lately have been making my iced lattes with protein shakes. Like, I drink a Premier protein shake every morning. I usually get like a fun flavor, but they have like 30 grams of protein in these little cartons, and I usually just chug them. So I decided I wanted to try pouring those into like my espresso shots as the like milk slash creamer element of the latte, so that I'm combining the protein, and so I'm basically making like a protein coffee. So I've been doing that for the last week or so. At first, the taste was not it. I think I'm just really used to like sugary milk with like a hint of coffee. And I'm trying to train myself to enjoy coffee, just like the taste of coffee and not sugary milk. I don't know. I'm trying to be better and like more conscious about what I am consuming nutrition-wise. I've just been so shit at that, and I'm trying to learn more about all of that and like just do things that make me feel fulfilled nutritionally. So I decided I'm going to try and combine my coffee with my protein shakes, and I've been doing that, and I honestly have gotten more used to it. I put in a little bit of almond milk sometimes if there's not enough. I don't like to use the whole protein shake with my two shots of espresso. I kind of split it in half, so one shake container thingy I make two lattes out of. And so that's what I'm drinking right now. I do pretty much everything else the same. Like, I add my cinnamon. It's fall right now, so I added the pumpkin spice. What is that freaking shit called? Pumpkin seasoning blend? Well, I can never remember the name of that specific seasoning, but if you know, you know. It's like the one, the pumpkin. It's like, what? This is so frustrating. The pumpkin spice seasoning blend from like the seasonings section at the store. Okay. I added a little bit of that also because it's fall and I like a little hint of autumn in my drinks. And I also have been adding that into my oatmeal as well, along with the cinnamon. I add the little pumpkin flavoring too, and it gives it just a little hint, a little subtle hint of fall. And I really enjoy that. So anyway, that's what I'm drinking. This was very melted because it's been sitting here for like an hour or two, but I just chunked the rest of it, and now we're moving on to water. All right, so that's it for What's Hannah Drinking. Thank you so much for listening, if you did, if you cared. Next, I want to talk about something that I'm thankful for right now, and this is something that I've been thinking about the last few days, because a few days ago, like late last week, we had a crazy-ass storm in New York City. I don't know exactly how many different places it affected, but I know that specifically in New York City and the surrounding areas, it was pretty intense. We had super intense rain, a lot of flooding. I was seeing videos all over from different places around the city and like subway stations and streets, like knee deep water and cars covered in water. Like, it was crazy. I've never seen rain like that before. So there was a lot of flooding, very, very heavy rain. And in that moment, I just realized how grateful I am. And not like this is like a newfound realization for me that I've never thought about the fact that I'm grateful for this before, but it just made me think about it a lot more, how grateful I am for a roof over my head. And I've been thinking about it every day since. Honestly, I am so grateful for the roof that is over my head. And I need to acknowledge that more and never ever take it for granted and just appreciate it, because I am very lucky to have that. And that all just came to my mind last week when we had this crazy weather. Speaking of the weather, this is not along the lines of the rain, but why the fuck is it 80 degrees in October in New York? Sorry. I talk about the weather a lot on this podcast, but the weather greatly impacts my mood. I don't know why, but it just does. Like, half of me is happy because it's sunny, but like, it's fucking October. Why is it 80 degrees this week? What's happening? I know exactly what's happening, actually. So no one really needs to answer that, but bruh, I can't, I hate it. That time is done. We're done. 80 degrees, please, like, leave us alone. Give me a breeze. Give me a 60, a 65. I want to wear sweaters. I want to have the crisp fall air blowing through my apartment. I can't open my windows right now because it's hot outside. It's 80 degrees. And yes, 80 is hot to me. Most temperatures are hot to me because I sweat when it's cold. So, I mean, I sweat even more, obviously, when it's higher temperatures. 80 degrees in October is objectively hot for New York. It should not be this hot. I digress, though. I think that's all I had to say about the that's the last bit I'm going to say about the weather for right now. When it becomes, it's fall also, like, it's officially fall. It's been fall for like 2 weeks now, and it doesn't feel like it. I'm going to tell you that. Still feels like summer. And for some people, that might be a dream come true. They're like, thank God, keep the warm weather coming. No, not this girl. I am a fall bitch. Fall is my favorite season. I love everything about it, except for the fact that the sun sets earlier. That's another gripe that I have that I've talked about before. I hate that a lot because it just leads me directly into seasonal depression. But we haven't gotten to that point yet, so we're gonna just, it's not a problem for right now. We'll address that, cross that bridge when it comes. But yeah, no, this girl wants fall weather. It is fall. I want to dress like it is fall. It's my favorite season to dress for. I want to burn my pumpkin candles. I'm doing that anyway, but it's more fun when there's like a crisp breeze coming through your windows. You know what I mean? Going back to the question, the one thing that I'm grateful for right now, among many things that I could say, is the roof over my head. And finally, one thing I'm looking forward to this week. So my one thing that I'm looking forward to this week has to do with a book that I started reading last night. My thing that I'm looking forward to this week is reading this book and finishing this book because I am so invested in this book. I feel like I am so, I'm so late to this game. I feel like a lot of people have read this book already. It's been very popular, very talked about, very highly regarded. And I finally hopped on and I decided I was going to start reading this book. I didn't even really know much about it when I started reading it, but I just was going off of how much everyone raved about it. The book that I'm reading right now is Fourth Wing. If you have read this book, you know. I am 40% of the way through the book, and that all happened last night. I basically sat and did not move for about 6 hours, give or take, because I couldn't stop. The only reason I stopped reading at around like 1:30 in the morning was because my eyes physically hurt. I mean, granted, I had been editing earlier that day. I edited for about 7 hours straight, finishing up my second London vlog, and then I took a little bit of a break, and then I decided to start reading, and I was reading on my Kindle. I don't know if my eyes would have hurt less if I was reading a physical book, but I did not have the patience to order this book on Amazon and like wait for it to come in 2 days. I wanted it now, and that's the whole point of a Kindle. And also, it's a very long book, so it would have been huge. I don't necessarily have a ton of room, but anyway, the only reason I stopped reading it was because my eyes were hurting physically, and I couldn't, like, it was hurting to keep them open. I probably would have pulled an all-nighter if it wasn't for that. I am 40% of the way through the book. I am sat. I can't stop thinking about it. I am so excited to open up that book again and keep reading. I'm so freaking excited. I cannot explain to you how happy it makes me internally. Like, the fuzzy, warm feeling I feel in my chest when I am reading a book that is so good that I cannot put it down. Like, I'm fully invested in this book. I am in the world that they are describing to me in this book. I have a whole feature film playing out in my head. I'm envisioning the characters. I'm getting excited. I'm just, oh my God, there's nothing better. There is nothing better than getting so into a book. You lose track of time. I love it. It's one of my favorite things in the whole world. And that's how I feel right now about this book. And there is going to be a sequel to this. I think it's, is it going to be a trilogy? I'm not sure, but I know there's another book. The second book to this one is coming out in, I believe, November. So in about like a month. I'm so excited. I haven't even finished. I'm not even halfway through this one and I'm so excited for the next one. I'm just so excited to get back to reading this, to keep like hearing about this story and seeing what happens and seeing what happens with the romance. And oh, I'm just, I cannot wait. I'm so excited. So that is something that I am looking forward to this week, is reading my book and finishing it. And I, God. All right, I think that's really all. Oh, I do have one thing to say. And this has been plaguing me for the last 2 weeks. Charlie, my cat, is not currently here with me in my apartment. She's okay. She's fine. She's completely fine. She is at my parents' house in Pennsylvania. And she's there because I took her there so that she could stay with them while I was in London. And then when I got back from London, I was coordinating like when I was gonna be able to retrieve her. But we decided, my dad and I are actually gonna go to a soccer game soon in the upcoming couple weeks. So we decided that when he comes up for that, he'll just bring her with him. But that is still way too far away. God, waking up every day without her here has been horrible. Horrible. She's my best friend. She makes me smile so much. She makes my heart so warm. I love just having her here. I cannot wait to see her again. But if you follow me on Instagram or YouTube and you're wondering why you haven't seen her in a lot, like in the last like week or two, that is why. And it is so painful. I miss her so much. I get my mom to send me pictures of her every single day. I FaceTime my mom every day and have her put the phone in front of Charlie's face so I could talk to her. And I make sure that my mom tells her every like literally 2 hours that I miss her and I love her and that I still exist. But it's been tough. I will say that. It has been not great for my mental health. But nevertheless, we persist. I will see her soon. It will be okay. Patience is a virtue. It's one that I don't necessarily like have, but I'm working on it. But it's tough because she is my companion, my one companion. So I've been feeling her absence very hard. I don't know why I wanted to mention that, but I just did. It's been, I've really been going through it with that, and it's something that's been heavy, weighing heavy on me. So yeah, there's that. I think that's all that I have for catch up. Nothing really else has happened except for like the glaring elephant in the room, which is my trip to London. So let's get into it. Let's discuss what the fuck even happened with my trip and how it went and all of that kind of stuff. I'm just really excited that I have another opportunity and excuse right now to continue discussing London, because I cannot shut the fuck up about it to anybody. And I've now posted 2 YouTube videos about it. I've posted several Instagram posts, stories, reels. I posted TikToks and I was there like, that's when you know it's real. That's when you know I'm having a good ass time. And I like want to tell everybody that I'm having a good ass time when I make TikToks, because I am the least consistent person on TikTok ever. If I don't have something to say, I just don't say anything. But when I was there, I was so excited. I was like, everything is great. Everything is amazing. So, okay, let's go back to before I left. I alluded to this earlier about the pre-trip anxiety that I was feeling. And I tend to get anxiety when I'm anticipating pretty much anything. I get anxiety when I'm anticipating a literal Zoom meeting. So, of course, when I was preparing to leave the country, board an international flight, fly across the Atlantic Ocean, and land in another country that I've never been to before all by myself, I felt like I was in over my head. I was truly, like, the buildup to the flight was the worst because I was questioning everything, mainly my ability and my capability to survive and function independently as a human being, which I know from doing this thing. You know, I've been living in New York City the last 2 years. I do a lot of things alone. I've done a lot of things alone before. I traveled across the country alone before. I was on like a 5 hour, 5.5 hour flight. I got over to California by myself. And that was the biggest solo trip adventure I had done thus far. So, I mean, I know from my past, like I have proof looking at my past that I am capable of functioning independently and I can, you know, hold my own and figure shit out. But something about the idea of doing that overseas by myself just like really started to make me feel like I was in over my head before I was about to leave. And I actually texted my good friend Emma, who Emma is, like, honestly, in my eyes, the queen of travel. She is so well-traveled, first of all. Second of all, just so confident. And she goes into these situations. I'm sure she probably, like, worries too and has anxiety too, but she doesn't show it. She goes into it so seemingly confident. And even if she might not feel it, she just kind of fakes till she makes it. I admire that so much about her. I actually texted her before I was about to leave and I was like, do you ever feel like you are literally in over your head doing something? And she's like, yes. And I was like, so how do you overcome that feeling? And her advice to me was simply, and I quote, ignore it. So that's what I did. I ignored it. I got on the flight. I mean, shit, I got myself to the airport. I got myself through security. I got myself onto the plane, into my seat. I had a whole rope to myself on the plane on the way there, which was amazing. I had a red-eye flight. I think I slept maybe like 3 or 4 hours, which is pretty decent, better than zero. I landed in London. I took the tube from the airport to my hotel, which, proud of myself for that. To be fair, it was like pretty straightforward and not at all complicated, and a lot of people were doing that, so I kind of just followed everyone else. But I had done a lot of research leading up to that on how to, on like the tube map and like seeing what lines I would need to take and familiarizing myself with what stop would be near my hotel. And thankfully there was a stop right by my hotel, like catty corner to my hotel, so once I made it all the way there, I didn't have to transfer lines or anything from the airport to my stop by my hotel. It was just one, the same line. Once I got there, it was like honestly right there. I had to walk like a block. So super, super easy and convenient. That gave me a big confidence boost, being able to just get off the plane and do that and end up at my hotel right away gave me a good initial confidence boost. I'm trying to think of what I can say right now that I didn't already talk about in my videos, because not only did I show the day-to-day, like what I was doing and take y'all with me on all of my explorations and whatnot in London, but I talked a lot about how I was feeling and some of the different kind of things I was going through physically, mentally when I was there. Obviously, jet lag is a thing. I always underestimate it for some reason, and then I continue to be proven wrong, but jet lag hit me pretty intensely. I think it was not like the first morning I woke up there, so I guess technically the second day. It was like kind of rough that day, but it was the day after that that was the worst, I think. And I also like woke up that the third day with super bad anxiety. I'm not even sure why. I mean, there's probably like a multitude of factors that could have contributed to why I have anxiety. I was in a new country by myself, but I had been totally fine up to that point. Like, I'm maneuvering around. Honestly, London reminded me a lot of New York City, and I think that that's part of the reason I loved it so much, because I felt comfortable there. I felt comfortable maneuvering the streets, walking around by myself, it felt like New York City, but just honestly cleaner and British. So I felt very much at home, even though it was somewhere I had never been before. I felt like I had a good grip on the vibes. And I also, of course, did a lot of research before I went. I asked around about, like, what to expect and best practices and all that kind of stuff. And I just kind of tried to practice the same city rules as I do New York. Like, head on a swivel, be aware, walk with purpose. All of those things that I do every day because I live in a big city. So I think that the fact that I live in a big city and I'm comfortable living in a big city for the most part, going to another big city like London, especially everybody spoke English, that was the best thing. Like, that's why I chose this as my first international solo trip, because I knew at the very least I would be able to communicate, and that was very important to me for my first solo trip, just to like dip my toes in. And also, London is a place that I've been wanting to go for a really long time. Let me just say, there's also no really rhyme or reason or flow or order to this episode. I didn't write any notes. I'm literally just freeballing it. I'm just, these are my thoughts as they come. I fell in love with London on this trip. I was there for, so I got in Monday morning, London time. I had the like afternoon basically of Monday once I got checked into my hotel and kind of cleaned up a little bit and went out. I had like the afternoon, evening, Monday, and then I had all day Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday I had the morning, and then I flew back out back to New York in the evening on Friday. I, first of all, fell in love with the place. It was the first day I had walked around and I got back to my hotel and I was just so happy. I just felt so happy to be there, and I was so happy with just my little exploration I even did that day, like where I walked around. I had so much fun. It was so nice out, and I don't know, something about it just made me so happy. And that was the first day. Like, I knew immediately that I really, really connected with this place. And I just, throughout the trip, it solidified that I love it there. It pushed me out of my comfort zone in the best way. It almost, like, felt like it was pushing me out of my comfort zone, but in a also comforting way. That makes no sense, probably, but that's kind of how it feels. Like, it felt like a warm hug, even though I was doing something out of my comfort zone. I loved it. I loved everything about it. I mean, honestly, the random torrential downpours I could have done without, but I knew going into it that London is a rainy place, so not complaining. They did simply do that. There was a lot of the torrential downpours and, like, hard-ass rain. Like, it was raining cats and dogs, raining sideways, when earlier that day there was no rain forecast. It would just come out of nowhere. And then you're like, oh my God, I was like up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. I did not have an umbrella. And I know that's a stupid rookie mistake. Every single person was like, bring an umbrella. And I just didn't. I don't know why I thought, like, maybe I thought I was going to buy one there. I didn't. So I did get soaked a couple of times. But you know what? It's part of the experience. It's all right. I'll bring an umbrella next time. I feel really lucky also because I had a couple friends that I got the opportunity to meet up with when I was there, which is honestly really cool, like to just have friends in another country and to be like, hey, you want to meet up, like I'm coming to your country, like what? It's blows my mind that that's possible. But I met up with two of my friends, Izzy and Sienna. I met up with Izzy for coffee and like lunch-ish, and then Sienna basically like gave me her whole day. She was my tour guide. She lives in London and showed me around, just went around and did touristy things with me. And it was just so freaking cool, first of all, and also just so nice. And it felt like, even though I came to London alone, I wasn't there alone. Like, I wasn't alone there, which is an interesting concept that I've been thinking about since this trip. Is just because I travel somewhere alone doesn't mean I'm going to be alone. Looking at just the bigger picture, everywhere I go, there's nowhere that I'm the only person there. Like, for example, I went to a fish and chips shop for dinner one night, and I was seated at a table outside by myself. And then there was this guy who was seated at the table right across from me. He was also by himself, and our chairs were like facing each other. And so we kept like making eye contact as we were trying to eat. And it was also kind of like really windy and cold. And we were both like, why did we choose to sit outside? I could kind of tell he was thinking that too. But we just ended up like starting a conversation because, I mean, shit, we were both there solo, but together at the same place. We started chatting. He was from the US and he talked about he was from Chicago. And I talked about being from New York, and then we talked a lot about football. I don't even know how we got on the topic of that. Probably the show. I don't even remember. I don't know what comment was made, but of course I would bring that up. So we were talking about that. We were talking about a ton of things, like what we're doing in London. I don't know. We just had like a nice, friendly conversation as two complete strangers who were both there separately, like alone, solo. But then at this one place, we were sat across from each other at two different tables but facing each other, and that just facilitated a conversation. So just because I go somewhere solo doesn't mean I'm alone. And I feel like that's a concept that I hadn't really thought of before, or at least in that way, and it's so comforting to think about it like that. Like just the little camaraderie that you have with other people. You don't have to be going somewhere with a group of friends to have that. You can have camaraderie with people on the street, people at restaurants, people in shops. I don't know, like it just made me feel like I was part of something and not just standing all by myself. Obviously it was like on me to maneuver around and get myself places and figure stuff out, but there were always other people doing that as well. So even though I'm technically by myself, I'm never the only one doing the same thing at the same time. There's always other people doing that, if that makes any sense at all. I'm not good at explaining this, but it makes perfect sense in my head. I'm just not great at articulating what I'm thinking. But I hope that this, like, you know, you get my vibe. Just because you go somewhere alone doesn't mean you're going to be alone, or doesn't mean that you are all alone. I felt that when I got to meet up with friends over there. Like, yeah, I went over there alone, but I then met up with people there and I wasn't alone. And then I went back to my hotel where I was alone, but alone in my room, just as probably 100 other people were alone in their rooms, all under the same roof. Thinking about it like that just makes it feel a lot less lonely. I feel like one of the biggest things people say when I talk about my solo trips and just like doing things by myself is like, don't you get lonely and like bored? And bored? No, not really, because I for some reason have a million ways that I can entertain myself at all times, and I like the quiet of being by myself, but I also enjoy my own company. Not to sound like an asshole or a narcissist or whatever, but I mean, I do, and I think it's important to enjoy your own company. So maybe I should stop being like, not to be an asshole, because I don't even think it's asshole-ish to say that you enjoy your own company. We should enjoy our own company. Besides the point, yes, it can be lonely. And there are some certain things in London that I didn't do on purpose because I wanted to experience them with people close to me. Like, I talked about this in my second vlog, but I didn't go to the Warner Brothers studio tour where they like had sets from Harry Potter and all that in London. I didn't do that because I didn't want to do that by myself. Like, I didn't want to experience something like that by myself. Ideally, I want to experience that with my family because I grew up with them loving Harry Potter so much, and we all love Harry Potter so much. So I just think that something like that would just be more special with others. And that's another thing. I do love my alone time. I love exploring alone and being able to experience things alone. And there's something very special, I think, about just experiencing a moment and taking it in just with yourself, just within yourself. But there's also something that the company of others adds that you can't necessarily exactly replicate on your own. And again, obviously, this doesn't mean that I don't have fun fully on my own, because I do. It's just in a different way. So does it feel lonely sometimes traveling alone? Yes. But then once I remember that just because I go somewhere alone doesn't mean that I am alone, I feel less alone. You walk past so many people, you see so many people seated around you at restaurants and like in shops, and you're all kind of there because you enjoy that type of food, or you're there at that shop because you enjoy those types of clothes. Like, people have a lot more in common with each other than you think. Even if you don't know these people personally, even if they're complete strangers, you guys have something in common. So it's just comforting to know that. I really think that that was one of my key takeaways from this trip. But the biggest overall takeaway that I have from this, and I kind of want to move into and maybe wrap this up with my reflection overall on the trip and some of my takeaways. That was a big one of them, but an even bigger one is that I am capable. I proved to myself that I am capable. I was worried. I was doubting myself. I was doubting my abilities before I left. I felt like I was in over my head. And I went, I did it anyway, and I proved to myself that I'm capable. And that is so huge. I honestly feel like there was a shift inside of me in my confidence during and after this trip. Like when I've, you know, come back to New York and have gotten back into my routine, I feel different. I just feel, I don't know how to explain it. I don't. It's just a feeling. But something about me just feels more capable and more confident as I'm going about the world. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this feeling came about right after I did this trip that was way out of my comfort zone. Borderline scary, but I did it. I proved to myself that I could do it, even though it was scary. And in that, I have learned to trust myself more. I have learned even more about what I'm capable of. And I grew in my relationship with myself, which is one of my favorite parts of doing things alone, is deepening my relationship with myself. And I don't know if that sounds silly, because obviously, you know, I'm in my head all the time. I know myself better than anyone else possibly could, because I'm the only one who's with me 24/7. I'm the only one that hears my thoughts and all of that. Like, nobody else can do that. It's not possible. So you would think I already have a pretty solid, deep, like, understanding and relationship with myself. But just because I spend a lot of time with myself and a lot of time in my own head and in my own body doesn't mean that I have a deep relationship with myself. Developing genuine love for yourself is not something that just comes naturally most of the time. And I'm speaking for myself here, but I feel like with everything that I overcome, I deepen my relationship with myself. My relationship with myself grows. My love for myself, my appreciation for myself grows. I feel like it did that because of this trip. And that is really special to me. I've also gotten a lot of comments on my London vlogs on YouTube that have made me smile so big. And the gist of them have been that it's inspiring to see somebody doing something that they also want to do but are afraid of. And it's cool to see someone like also be afraid of it but do it anyway. And it kind of shows somebody else that they're capable of it. Because if I can do it, you can do it. Like, I was nervous and I have tons of anxiety about everything, and this was no different. But I did it anyway, and I've gotten some comments saying that, things like that on my videos, and oh god, they just make me so freaking happy. And that's something that I want to make really clear. Like, don't let yourself get in the way of your own growth. I could have easily just decided against going on this trip because I was too anxious and would rather stay in my comfort zone, but I went anyway. I proved to myself that I could do it. And in doing that, I kind of showed, I think, other people who are in my same boat, like with my same feelings, but like the desire to do something like this, I feel like I kind of showed, not to, this sounds like me tooting my own horn, and I'm sorry, but I just wanted to address these comments because they made me really happy and just feel, they made me proud of myself, honestly. That's what I want. I want to be able to show people that they can do it despite their anxieties and despite them trying to like get in their own way sometimes, or their anxiety getting in their way, they can overcome it anyway. Just showing like what I got out of it on the other side. Just seeing people say those things makes me really, really happy. And I just wanted to remind everyone to believe in themselves, even when you feel like something may be too big for you or you're in over your head, as Emma said, ignore it. Because the growth on the other side is worth trying for. In conclusion, I love London. I'm already thinking about going back. I have so many things left on my list that I didn't get to see in my very short time there. I needed way more time. I went for 3 full days and 2 partial days. I need so much more time. I need to go back. I'm itching to go back. I'm very excited. I want to see it during the holidays. I want to see so many parts of London. I want to see so many parts of just England in general. I want to go to the English countryside. I'm already so excited to go back. And I honestly can't tell you the last time I felt so drawn to a place after I'd left. Like, usually if I go somewhere and then I come back, I'm such a homebody. So I will be like, you know, I've had enough of it for right now. But with London, I'm like, no, I want to go back. I cannot wait. I already can't wait till I can go back. It was just an amazing experience all around. I could ramble on for days about how happy it made me being there and just everything I feel like I learned about travel and what I learned about myself and what I learned about my capabilities and what I learned about London. There's so much out there in the world that I want to see and learn about and experience. And I'm just really grateful that I had the opportunity to go and do this. And I had the ability to go and do this because it was amazing. One of my favorite trips I've ever, ever taken. And I cannot wait to go back. I cannot wait. I feel like that's really the rundown. That's the gist of it. If you want more in-depth, day-to-day, nitty-gritty, or even like my thoughts as they were happening in real time, as I said, I'm going to put the links for both of my London blogs in the show notes. If you want to go check those out, I highly recommend it. Not just because I spent probably 40 hours, upwards of 40 hours on both of them, like a combined, just because I think they're actually objectively pretty good. Not to toot my own horn, but I mean, when you work for that many hours on something, you would hope that it would at least be good. And I'm proud of those videos and I want everyone to see them. And I just want to shout from the rooftops how happy I am that I went. It was just so amazing. So if you're thinking about going to London, do it. If you're considering it as a place to maybe visit, you should consider it harder. Add it to your list. It's great, especially if you love New York City. Not just if you love New York City, but if you love New York City and you've been thinking about going to London, yeah, you should. That's my unprofessional advice for you. I think that's all I've got for this little London recap reflection type of thing. I feel like it was more of a reflection than a recap, but we'll see what I end up titling this. I'm not sure. As always, if you made it to the end of this episode, you are a freaking real one, and I love you so much. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for bearing with me while my schedule has been a little bit messed up because I've been just kind of getting my content up when I can. I'll be back on schedule hopefully soon. I was ahead of schedule and now I'm kind of back to playing catch up, but hopefully I can catch up and then, you know, get back ahead. So we can be back on schedule. But this was a bit of a different circumstance with all this content I was working on, and I just wanted to get it out as quickly as possible. But I didn't want to rush it. So just like for the sake of having it up on a certain date, you know, like I'd rather make it meaningful and worthwhile. So that's kind of what I've been doing. But we're back into my routine, back in the city. So excited for fall in New York City. It's my absolute favorite time of the year in the city. It's my favorite time of the year, period. But fall in New York City is unlike anything else, I swear. All right, I'm going to go get a burrito for dinner because I'm starving, and the sun is going to go down soon because it gets dark so early now. I need to stop complaining because in like 2 months when it's dark at 4 p.m., I'm going to be eating my words right now. But I'm going to go get dinner and then continue on with all of my editing. Thank you for listening to this episode of Digital Diary with me, Hannah Elise. I love you so much, and I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Bye.